Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. We love to have on people that are out there doing their thing and working hard wherever they are to save this country. And my guest today is an awesome young patriot who also happens to be a farmer and is fighting for freedom everywhere. Stephanie Nash, thank you for joining me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Now, we have a mutual friend, one of my favorite people, Hannah, who's out there and she's fighting the good fight. And she said, you got to talk to Stephanie. She's doing amazing things. So I said, great, let's bring her on the show. So why don't you tell my audience a little bit about you and we'll get into all, everything that you're doing and all this, you know, and the why, because you actually are out there on the front lines.
Yeah, well, my name is Stephanie Nash. I'm a fourth generation dairy farmer. My family originated out of Fresno, California. In 2013, we decided to move out of California because regulations and water availability were very hard on farmers and ranchers. And for those of you who do not know, Fresno County is the largest agriculture county in the United States. So it was very sad for us to leave. But now we are outside of Nashville. We are milking cows. We have a creamery. We do agritourism. And I've really gotten into more policy within the agriculture sector, really trying to educate the public, because in the end, if we don't have consumers on our side, ultimately farmers and ranchers are going to diminish. So really advocating for farmers and ranchers across America.
Yeah, it's really important that people pay attention to this. I was just talking to Robert Barnes, who's representing Amos Miller, the Amish farmer in Pennsylvania, and it's the Department of Agriculture of Pennsylvania that's really being very harsh on him. And my question was, well, who's really behind this? Because the Department of Agriculture, first of all, they're unconstitutional for them to like show up and, you know, take your crops and take your animals and all this crazy stuff that they're doing. But what is the agenda here that's really fueling the making it so difficult to farm in America right now?
The Green New Deal is ultimately one of the strongest agenda environmentally that has come about from an administration, from a presidential administration. Right. And so you're seeing the EPA gain more confidence than they have in the past. You're seeing the FDA do what they want with the USDA, even though I truly believe we have, you know, strong representation in the USDA, but they're being bullied by the Green New Deal. And so you're seeing a lot of federal regulations. Consumers don't understand. You know, sometimes you can't farm in Wyoming like you can in New York, and the federal government knows that. So they're creating regulations over the American family farmer rancher to cripple the American agriculture economy.
Wow. Now, what was going on? Now, a lot of people don't know about what was happening with water in California. And it's really, and you guys had to leave. But this is a really big deal because California had so many farms and so many of them are now sitting there, you know, they're just completely abandoned. What happened with water there, and what was that about, and who was behind that?
So the problem with California and many of the West is we go through droughts. And so with that comes boards and groups you need to get on to get water. Well, when you live in California, you have cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles that also want green lawns, even though they're not growing anything in their backyard. And so you have to be part of a water allocation, and ultimately, the state decides how much water you do get, which, in my opinion, if we're growing your food at the amount that California is, you should be giving all the water to the Central Valley. But, you know, we fought for years there. My dad was on the board. He was represented pretty heavily, you know, as a Farm Bureau member, and he talked about it a lot. You know, we can't win being in the middle of these big cities with bigger power and bigger money.
Right.
And so ultimately, farmers and ranchers lose a lot in California and many other states, including New York right now.
Right. Yeah. We were in Tulare and we were talking to some farmers there that were talking, telling us about the water situation and how, you know, it was really decimating some of their farms, and they were fighting. That's what they were fighting there. Now, another thing that's happening, I have friends that have a couple of farms in North Carolina, and what's happening there is that people are knocking on their doors and offering them cash for their farms. And some of these farms are hurting for money, and then they'll find out. This happened with two different people that had reported to me and told me that the people come, they'll offer cash, and then they'll go and they'll look at usually it's a shell company. And then when they go and look at it, it's either Chinese Communist Party money behind it or Bill Gates behind it. And that this is happening. And if you sell one farm, then they try to get all the other farms around it. And it's really a problem. And people are also being bullied and stuff. Are you seeing what is going on with that? Who is behind that? And what is the goal?
That's something that they are trying to silence a lot of farmers and ranchers on right now. Right. I tell you, I'm a big advocate for keeping our land and water American grown and American owned. And this administration and many in our past have not protected American soil. They're letting foreign investors come in. They're letting people like Bill Gates buy up land for his agenda so he can bring in fake meat for our country. And it's very scary. I hear about it in Arkansas. I've seen it in Oklahoma. Texas has blocked a lot of foreign investments, and so have the Dakotas. But there's still a lot going on with eminent domain, big corporations wanting to put in solar farms, wanting to put pipelines through privately owned land. And it is very disgusting what is happening to our country.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. And then I saw yesterday that they want to sell the rest of our oil reserve. And, you know, right when he came in, he shut down all the oil and gas. I mean, there's so many things. But the what's going on the farms is really scary. And I understand that people are really being bullied, you know, even if somebody comes, like you said, a fifth generation farmer is not going to do that usually. Also, it does appear that there has been a lot of money given out, but that they're discriminating with that money. So while they're out there saying we're giving all this money to farmers, what I'm hearing is that most farmers, when you talk to them, they were told they don't qualify, or it's not, or if they come up with some reason, and that this money isn't really going to farmers, yet they keep saying that they're giving money to farmers. What do you know about that?
Yeah, I know all too well about that, being a dairy farmer. I've watched my industry diminish by 45,000 dairy farms. And, you know, a lot of people, especially within the USDA and the government, will say, well, we're not losing cow numbers. But the problem is we are losing ownership of American owned. I mean, think about that. Let that sink in of who is buying our land, who is buying our water resources. And unfortunately, when it comes to programs like that, you know what has been done in the last 3 years is they're bullying farmers to go into programs or go into pretty much contracts that are conservation easements or sustainability or climate change friendly practices, and they own them. And I talked about this morning. What is disgusting about our country is we can give $95 billion away to Ukraine. We can give $13,000 in allowance to illegals. But hell, if we want to farm the way that we have been doing for generations, sorry, that's not what we want you to do. We want you to be regulated. We want you to be the problem for environmental change. And ultimately, if you do not give into our needs and our contracts, we're going to put you out of business.
Yeah, I mean, it is really, really terrifying, especially when I was driving through Illinois. I saw so many abandoned farms. I couldn't even believe it. I just thought, God, if these were all thriving, I feel that way. I've been through 30 in the last 3.5 years. I've been on a kind of a road trip nonstop on and off. And I've been through, there's just so much land that could be thriving and growing, and we would have total food security. Because another issue is the supply chain and what's going on. Like you said earlier, you know, if we were self-sustaining and made all our own food, which we obviously could because of our landscape, but that is not what they want from for us at this point. Now, In that world also, there is a real push to change, like you said, how you're farming. So we have all this talk about not just injecting animals with vaccines and with antibiotics and all of that, but now you have all the talk about that they want to tag every animal, like, and then charge farmers and stuff. I don't think a lot of people know about this. And this is like, they want to basically have the biometric data or, you know, some kind of chip in every single animal. First, they were just saying cattle. Now they're talking all the way about to pigs and to sheep and everything. Is that, have you dealt with that at all yet? Because that was in the Green New Deal or infrastructure deal or one of these ridiculous things. Is that coming at you? Do you see that out there?
So we don't see it yet, but that was 2 years ago when that came up. A lot of beef farmers were really worried, because if we know the beef market, everybody has their transition, whether you're a cow calf state, whether you're a feeder state, whether you're a finish state. So beef cattle travel quite a bit. And so the USDA and the Green New Deal were trying to push, oh, we're going to tag every animal that crosses state lines to prevent disease. And no offense, an ear tag, just like an earring, is not going to tell me if I have a disease or a sickness. Right. So it's really about control. They want to follow farmers and ranchers. They want to know how many cattle they're shipping, because that's ultimately part of your private American rights to not tell the government everything, right, if you own
exactly.
a business, right? But it's getting that way. And so by them tracking our credit cards and tracking our cattle, we're losing that freedom that America is.
Yeah. And they're watching how much business you're doing. You know, obviously they don't have any money left. They're just printing money, but wherever they can find it, they're going to take it. Now, one other thing that I heard recently, this is particularly about pork, but that a lot of, but I think it's also with cattle too. A lot of these Chinese companies that are buying up, like Smithfield, and these are Chinese Communist Party's companies. What I'm being told is that what they're growing here in America, they're not selling here. They're sending back to China. So, you know, they're buying up all of our farmland, and people think, well, if the Chinese are running the farmland, but that's not what's going on. They're buying up, they're buying up our farmland to feed their people. Is that part of what's happening with this massive amount of farmland being bought? I mean, I understand Bill Gates wants to have fake food, so he doesn't want farming so that there's a you know, famine of some sort of for meat and stuff. But the Chinese, I think it's a very different situation.
Yeah. So just so everybody knows, it's not from an agriculture background. The dynamic of our country has really changed. You know, America used to be the place where everybody was coming to for resources and food. And now that other countries have not been sustainable, or, you know, you look at Ukraine and Russia, how they're in a war and how they're not growing as much as they could be because of the war. Other countries are coming to America to buy land. And ultimately, we're not keeping it in America because other countries are trying to resource for themselves. And the other scary thing about Smithfield Foods that I've said for years now is, you know, they closed a plant last year. They own 42 more. What is stopping them from ultimately closing 42 plants? And then what do we do for our pork supply?
Right.
And so they're chipping away little by little to own more and more and more. And ultimately, yeah, we have the same cow numbers, but who owns those cattle and where is the food going? So that's a great question.
Yeah, it's really important that people understand what's happening here in terms of exporting our stuff, and not in a way that's beneficial or making us money. It's actually, you know, basically stealing the fruits of our land and sending it elsewhere. Now, what does it look like for farmers right now in terms of because of inflation, because of all of this? I know there's been a lot of issues with trucking, and also with certainly with what is going on with, you know, everything from packaging to whatever. Inflation is hitting farmers pretty hard right now at a time when they're getting regulations from all over the place. So do you see that there's a lot of financial strain that is not being met because they put so much money into these bills for farmers? And yet I from what I'm hearing from you and other people, like the cost to farm is dramatically risen, and people aren't getting the help unless they go this full Green New Deal way. So what's it like how are you financially being able to sustain it? Is it getting harder?
Yeah, farmers and ranchers, I mean, most of them are hanging on by a thread. I'm not lying. Our agriculture industry does not represent us. That's why most agriculture industries don't want me to talk about this, because they're making marginal profit numbers. You look at people like JBS and Tyson and Cargill, and, you know, I just don't understand why we are investing into fake meat, and we're investing into China companies and investing into Bill Gates, when we could be investing into farmers and ranchers and American patriots that actually care about the American consumer. And so, I mean, we struggled last year big time. It was probably our worst year as a dairy farm with the milk prices of what they were. I think dairy farmers were losing between 50 and 100,000 a month.
Wow.
How do you pay farm bills? How do you pay your employees? How do you pay feed bills? And, you know, you look at the beef industry, you know, they're getting paid good. Beef prices are great. But how much more are they paying for gas and diesel and feed
right.
and
truck? That's the other thing. Right.
Yeah. It's not just one thing. It's a domino effect. And so when you're asking these farmers to give 1.2 million to a digester to create methane, you know, or you're asking these beef farmers to go more grass fed, that takes longer for them to harvest. And ultimately that's what the consumer wants. But in reality, you know, they're on that land longer instead of us giving back to the food supply. That just has me wondering questions that they're kind of trying to submit us to do certain practices. And in the end, consumers just want to know where their food comes from. They want to know it's safe and healthy. And ultimately, this administration has been educating incorrectly, putting fear in the American consumers' lives, saying that farmers and ranchers are not sustainable. And that's the most dangerous part to me as a farmer or rancher, is educating the people to not believe in agriculture, ultimately leading to the Green New Deal winning in the end.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to our founders, especially Jefferson and many of the other people, that was the whole thing, was that the biggest, most important thing was to make sure that we were growing our own food that was, healthy and plentiful and all of that. They really stressed, you know, I think it was even Kissinger that said, you know, whoever controls the food controls the people. And we got to really understand that this is all part of Agenda 2030 and the Obama-O'Biden commitment to that direction and the installed regime working for I call them the globalist parent company. So we have to know that we have to support the farmers. So let's tell my audience a little bit about how they can support you, how they can support farmers, what they can do. Because, you know, everyone's always saying, what can I do? What can I do? And I try to, at this show, say, you know, at least I told you what you can do. Yeah. It's up to you to do it. So tell me about some of the initiatives and some of the things and how people can get involved.
Yeah. So at a state level, especially around America, just be watching those bills. There is a lot of bills coming in that say conservation, that look really pretty and fun, but ultimately it's putting farmers and ranchers in a chokehold, and it's allowing the government to bully them around into practices that don't make sense financially, mentally, and in the end for our country as you as American consumers. So that's a big one. Just pay attention to that. It's coming. A lot of bills are coming in 2024 per state. Secondly, I say this all the time. I'm not trying to be harsh, but there's a lot of people out there that are conservatives that are doing a great job. But please, if you're not a farmer or rancher, don't educate, because there's a lot of misinformation. I talked about this to Hannah the other day.
Right.
There's a lot of labels that you might not know, that you think you know, that we are doing for their food supply. And so whether it says organic or natural or non-GMO or grass-fed, we are all giving back to our food supply. And we all are held to standards and regulations to make sure your food is safe. And again, that's going back to education. I'm really passionate about that. I've been a conventional farmer my whole life.
Right.
I take care of my cattle. I take care of my land. And just because my label doesn't say organic on it, doesn't mean it's not as healthy as the one next to it. Okay. So that's a big thing with me. And secondly, thirdly, is education of our kids.
Right.
We are third, fourth generation removed. I hold a kids camp here in Tennessee.
Oh, great.
Because I truly believe that kids love being on the farm. They just need to experience it, and they need somebody to show them the farm life. And I think it's so pure, and it gets them off of the TV and the social media. And they get to be outside. And then when they grow up, they can be advocates for our food supply, which I think is great. So just remember to listen to your farmers and ranchers, because we do know what's best. And we've been farming for a very long time.
Well, what are some of the things before we go that people should pay attention to when you say that there's wrong information out there? What are some of the main things that you see over and over that make you say, oh, my God, that's not right? A lot of this has to do with adhering to the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, which my audience knows, I believe, is full track and trace, surveillance, totalitarian technocracy takeover. So they're pretty familiar. But I want my audience to know a little bit about what you're talking about when you say that there's misinformation out there about, because the misinformation, disinformation is coming from the people that benefit from it. And so I'd like to give them from you a little bit of some of what you do talk about that is to correct the record.
So, I love this. This is something I sent a message out Monday. about somebody that was pushing, there's two companies, and I don't want to name them because they do work with local farmers, but they are conservative companies. They're selling beef directly to consumers. And I'm just going to tell you right now, the mRNA vaccine is not a thing. It has not been approved. Nobody's pumping it into your beef. But there's conservatives out there that really do believe that we're just pumping vaccines and like, this is all happening. There are 8th, 9th, 10th generation farmers that have contracts with Walmart and Costco and Sam's Club that are under the same regulations as Mrs. Mary that has 10 cows down the street that's doing grass fed. And that's right. Something that's killing our country. We are allowing misinformation to scare you to buy from bigger companies that are making profits off of it instead of you just relying on the farmer or rancher right. to supply you with the food you need. I'm all for buying local. I'm all for supporting local because we are small. We sell ice cream and cheese. I get it. But I would never say that my product is more safe than the stuff we sell in the grocery store. I just would not. Now, if you're buying fake meat, I can't tell you what's in it. And if you're buying almond milk and oat right. milk and you think it's better for you, it's not, okay? But that's what's killing our country. I truly believe that, and I'm not trying to make an enemy of everybody, but there is an agenda for people to make a profit.
100%.
And here's the American people, and it's working. So do not be scared of our food, because that's what the agenda is. That's what the Green New Agenda is. And we just need to listen to farmers and ranchers, because again, we all have different practices. The other thing is too, like we have all different sicknesses, you know, right. California, we had 2 seasons. I never dealt with pneumonia and then we moved here. So right. I have to protect my cattle in the best way that I know with medicine. And then we have withdrawal periods, which means that we have to take that cow out of production for however long. And then the vet comes and makes sure there's no antibiotics.
Right.
And then she can go back in the milking stream. So we take practices to ensure that you guys are always safe. But it's like me telling a mom, hey, don't give your kid Tylenol if he's got 105 fever. I mean, I'm not going to let my animals suffer.
Right. And so that's, I think that's important. Just
with me.
Yeah. And also, especially for dairy farmers, there's, you know, the whole thing is, you know, it's well for all farmers, but dairy farmers is particular because it's not like you're getting ready to get rid of the cattle. You actually want them to live a long life.
Yeah. Long time.
Right. And then the other thing is how do people find local farmers? I think people aren't sure. People say, oh, I want to deal with local farmers. Is there any group that you feel gives out good information on how to find local farmers? I think a lot of people say that they would go to a local farmer. I know people right now, honestly, my friends in New York and stuff that drive and buy an entire cow and put it in the freezer. And that's what they use for the whole time. So how do people find those farmers?
I love that. I would say a lot of times farmers markets are great. I know there's a lot of butcher plants popping up around our country. So go and learn about them. But there's not really a huge website for like everybody in America.
Right.
A word of mouth is great. And I know a lot of farms across our country are opening their doors to tours. So even if, you know, they're just a dairy farm and they only sell ice cream and cheese like us, I have tons of references for eggs and beef that I will send them. So just get to know your community. It's a great, great way to find resources.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool. Now, can you tell everyone how to find and follow you? And if anyone wants to get any information, you have been so in the front lines of correcting the record and telling people where to go and giving them directions. So I really want to thank you for that. And I want my audience to know where you are and what you're doing. I think you're just getting started and we need you more than ever because I see what's going on. I've been watching some of these cases around the country. And there is a new push for direct to farmer, direct to consumer that I really think is a good trend, especially locally, that we really need to get behind. So please tell my audience how to follow you, how to find you and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So Stephanie Nash, No Farms, No Food across all the platforms. If you guys are ever in Nashville area and want to come visit the farm, we start tours at the end of this month till October.
Oh, great.
So that's Nash Family Creamery. You can also find my email on the website. So if you have any questions, I'm out there. But I truly love agriculture. I started advocating 5 years ago because I think we were being silenced. And I think there's a lot more ag influencers than agriculture advocates. So I'm trying to mentor FFA students, mentor kids to understand and love agriculture. So I hope you guys do the same as parents and really support your rural communities.
Great. Awesome. Everyone, make sure you go to themelkshow.com, download this episode, share this episode, make sure that everyone knows that they should be getting involved, how they can get involved in some of this information. Follow Stephanie on her journey. She's just getting started, and support your local farmers as always. You can follow me at Mel K Show at Twitter, the Mel K Show at Instagram, and everywhere else. We don't know when we're going to be censored next or purged or whatever. So make sure that you do go to Stephanie's website and sign up for any alerts or newsletters, and mine as well. And I will see you next time. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Keep up the great work, and keep me on notice if you have any developments that you want to come share. I really, really appreciate it. And you're an amazing young farmer in America. We need way more of you. So keep it up. Thanks.
Yeah. No.
Thanks. We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now. It's that time of year again. People are getting sick. They're getting the flu. They're getting the cold. They're getting all different kinds of things. And I have always been very grateful for my friendship with Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Z. And though he's not with us anymore and I miss him every day, he has left behind the best remedy to me for anything that ails you. And that is Z-Stack from Dr. Zelenko. There's Z Flu, Z Stack, and Z Kids. There's also many other products there. It's all about naturally boosting your immune health and fighting anything that comes your way. Dr. Zelenko was ahead of his time. He is out there fighting for us still to this day, and he's left behind the best gift. The gift is your health. So go to MelKDrZ.com, or you can go to my partner's page at themelkshow.com, click Dr. Z or Z Stack. Better health for us all awaits. Thank you, Dr. Zelenko. We'll be right back.